Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Simple Actions. Sorry, I'm like, woo! Welcome to everybody to Simple Actions Group, Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kendra, and I am definitely an alcoholic.
Kendra.
I think I'm in the right place. For those who care to join me, let's open with a serenity prayer. God, grant me serenity to accept
the things I cannot change,
the courage
to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms, which are now down the hall and up a flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Good reminder. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundation of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on the simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism and the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic. Sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous, we encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're discussing the first part of step four. Our panel, Meredith and Jim. All right, and I will start with the first reading. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me in the back? Okay, I'm trying to like
thumbs up.
Project.
We got two thumbs up.
All right, the first reading is on page 63 at the very bottom. It says, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in our life which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Meredith?
Should I say Meredith Alcoholic?
You can.
Okay. Meredith Alcoholic. If I'm too quiet, which is hard not to be, because that's me. I'm not quiet. Just let me know. It's a small paragraph. So just write it all down. I mean, I don't know what to say right now. Just write it down. Use the book. You got your four columns. And don't leave anything out.
Cool. Jim, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
My sobriety date's the 28th of June, 2006. Home group is the Early Bird Breakfast Club down at the beach. You're welcome anytime, Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. And I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor. So I think I'm qualified to sit here. came in beaten down to the point of loneliness and isolation. That I have not yet felt again after coming in the rooms. So it was, but on to what we're talking about. The launching into a, coming out of step three, launching into my vigorous course of action. And I will be honest, it was not all that launch, I've been told. It was more of a fingernail scraping across the, as I was trying not to progress. My sponsor was encouraging me to, that it would be all right, that I needed to do this. And I brought with me all the baggage that working through the book without a sponsor comes with. All of my insane ideas about what a fourth step inventory was, you know, my life history and my, you know, the novel that is Jim and all this, the details and the nuances of everything I felt. And I thought, dear God, it's going to take me forever to do. So I mean, as is my, if I'm not able to do it perfectly and quickly, I usually bail. I just don't. So with his help, I learned, although it wasn't an immediate launch, it took me a number of weeks to go through the fourth step with him. It was pivotal. I mean, it just to find the things to go through it as the book describes, not as I described it, which we're about to do. So I don't want to read ahead, but it was cool. So onward and upward.
Onward and upward. Mary, did you want to do your qualifier? You're welcome to at this time.
I'm completely nervous right now.
Totally.
And okay, so Merit Alcoholic again. my sober date is December 27th, 2016. Look, I even wrote it down because I'm so nervous. My home group is Joys of Recovery, 8 p.m., so it's not 6:30 in the morning. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's a big book, and it's wonderful, and I love it. And I just love it. And what else am I saying?
Sponsor.
Yeah. I do have a sponsor. I have no sponsees, but that's okay because they'll come, I'm sure. Mm. Just sit here and they will come.
That's right. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for sharing. Yeah. The next reading is going to be on page 64. Therefore, we start upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding, fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure, being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. Jim, you'd like to start first
sure.
this time? Go ahead.
Jim again.
Thanks for that.
Jim again. This is the part of the book which I, of course, read past. I read past many things. I was able to skip over quite a bit of it when I didn't have a sponsor. But he brought me back to this, and we worked again, grudgingly, clawing at what I wanted to, the way I wanted it to work. But he simplified it for me, saying, "We don't want the novel. We want the bullets. Mm. We just want." I don't need to know the why, I just need to know the what. So he said, we'll figure out the why later, let's just stick with the what. So I was able to, he said, you know, a business inventory is, you know, how many of those do you have? Not what is the serial number of each one, it's how many do you have? Five, you know, and if you have five things against this person, it is perfectly acceptable to say, I have five. You don't have to, you know, I don't want you to go super detail. I want you to stay at the high level, top level. We'll dig in later in an effort to get the ball rolling with me, because I have done more than one of these. And I thought when I did my first one that that was all. I would do this, and I would be finished with it, and I would get a check mark, and I would graduate. Very good. I have since learned, and now I don't have to do them. I want to do them, because my perception of this has changed completely from my original thought process. It is absolutely beneficial to me. It absolutely uplifts me. It keeps me stable and sober, so I'm more than willing to do it and eagerly attack it in my 10th step quite frequently. Meredith?
Thanks, Jim. Like I said earlier, it's just you have to write it down, and it's hard to sometimes see it, but I just underlined the fact-finding and fact-facing process. This is a program of honesty, and we have to be really honest with ourselves, and it's going to get ugly, and it's always darkest before the dawn. So to get through that, you gotta face it, and it can get I'm not going to tell you all my resentments, but it can get pretty ugly. Did I cry? Did I scream? Did I yell? Yeah. I mean, I went through the emotions that were tough, that the alcohol numbed, and or forgot because I blacked out or something. And you got to be honest. Step four is definitely it's like ripping the Band-Aid off.
All right. Thank you all. All right, the next reading is on page 64 as well. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. We have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, or our personal relationships, including sex, were either hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? Go ahead, Jim.
Again, the oddball in the group. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous without any resentment. I wasn't burned up at anyone. I was not angry with anyone. They didn't understand me. But I could not grasp this for the life of me. I'll give a shout out to the Joe and Charlie tapes for making this clear to me that I didn't need to be angry that a resentment is something I refeel. It's something I am refeeling. Now, I had many of this going on because I was replaying conversations and situations and with my boss, with my family, with everyone around me continuously. I would have said this, and had I said that, and just my mind was awash with trying to correct and fix and lay awake at night replaying things that happened in my childhood that I'm not a young guy, so that was a long time ago. Until I was explained that this is a refill, so then I was able to make a list fairly quickly And again, my sponsor stepped in and instructed me that my lists go from top to bottom. My first column of my inventory goes from top to bottom until I can move to the second column, until I can move to the third column. He said, I don't want you going across because it will, you'll lose your train of thought. I want you to stay focused on the who and the why. Do it that way for me, which I believe is the Joe and Charlie method as well. But the keeping it short and using that method, I was able to get through it fairly quickly. At least the first three columns were in short order, and that's where we're stopping reading. So I will stop there too. Meredith?
Thanks, Jim. People, institutions, or principles? Resentment is our number one offender. You know, it's quicker to be mad at people, and because they're pretty much right in front of us and we can see them, or they're on the phone or something. But I saw on my list institutions and principles a lot. My depression and anxiety, my job, I'm in the Navy, and I was going through some resentment there, and that was huge for me. It was huge, and I tried to wrap my I wrap my mind around it, because this is what we came here for, you know. This is why we drink right here. It's on paper. And it's looking at us. And I write down my institution and principles, my depression and anxiety, the Navy. And it's staring at me, and I just really want to drink, you know. And that's why resentments are our number one offenders. And you just got to get it down. And like Jim said, get it down. And then start with the column. And then what I did with my sponsor, the last two columns, the effects, and of course the blank one that we had, we waited to the end. We just talked about who, what, the people, institution, principles, and then the cause. And we went from there. I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, the next reading is on page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived.
Okay? when Meredith was sharing, I forgot to. It is important that my sponsor instructed me to use a pencil and paper. I've been playing with computers a long time, and I was just aghast. Paper and pencil? how prehistoric. I don't even have a pencil sharpener. But thank God he did, because I believe that's part of the magic. It is actually having it written in my own hand in front of me. That is one of the keys for me. So now we get into the tougher parts of the step, when I have to go back through and look at it from a different perspective and realize that perhaps the people around me weren't wrong, which was a traumatizing event for me. I've, you know, I just not, my background in computers and consulting, early, my manager said, never open the user's manual in front of a client. And I was like, but if I need the, if I, he said, user's manuals are for people who don't understand. You understand. Never. So we're not, I mean, I'm not wrong. I may be, you know, a little off base, but I'm not wrong ever. I'll look it up in the manual and find the page for you at a later date, but this is the way we're going. So to and stop there, right? This is the book is telling, this is how I operated. I would see that, you know, other people in my life didn't understand me, or they were just generally wrong, clearly. And that's, so it's, well, what do you do with them? They just don't understand. They'll never get it. Poor folks. So now I'm looking at myself and replaying all these things and realizing the pattern is starting to emerge on paper. I can see it. I don't want to believe it, but I can kind of, it's sort of coming off the page, the vapors are rising. There it is, you know. What if it's me? What if it's me? And I had to stop and sit with that for a couple of days, like what if everything you ever thought isn't true? You know, what if all of this, well, we're being recorded, so stuff you've been thinking all this time about all these people and how they all point the finger at you is really justified, that it's, what if it's me? Meredith?
This is my rock right now. Well, I was always wrong. And I have two ex-husbands to tell you that. So, and that is probably why I drank most of the time, is because I could get nothing right. At least that's what they told me. And I started to believe them to the point where I wasn't very, my self-confidence was very shaken. I put on a really good front on the outside, as opposed to work and my friends and even my family members, and just the outside world. I put on a smile, I can put on a pretty dress, slap on some lipstick, and I could fake it. But inside, it was just inner turmoil and like war, you know. War inside me, and drinking stopped that, and it quieted, or I passed out, whatever comes first. So, eventually I knew I was wrong, but I kind of wanted to know why I was wrong. And I know why I'm wrong now, because now I'm sober and I'm reading the book. Because of, fear, the sex relations and resentments. Actually, we're doing resentments, so let's... Because of these resentments and stuff like that. So, and to get that all down on paper and to see it. And then I can say it out loud and I can feel it and I can cry or I can punch something or be angry about it. But then it goes away. It's like the ocean. It comes in and then it goes back out. And that's it. It just goes in and then it comes back out. And you just feel better and you feel lighter. Mm-hmm. So when these people, institutions, or principals when they come back at you because they're your resentments, the Navy, depression, anxiety, two ex-husbands, you know, you can go with a clear conscience with cleaning up your side of the street and say, bring it, because it's okay. Because one, I know I'm wrong. I made peace with it. You're the one with the problem, and I'm going to stay on my side of the street. All right, that's why not.
Thank you. All right, the next reading is on page 66. It is plain that life, which includes deep resentment, leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent to which we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison.
That's a mouthful.
Right.
It took me a while to grasp that first paragraph after realizing that I'm part of the problem. That took me a little while to figure out. So I started off with wanting to be, you know, free of anger, which I had not all that angry of a guy. The grouch and the brainstorm piece of it, I was a grouch. Because with my clairvoyance and mental telepathy, it was clear you could understand what was wrong, why I was having a bad day, what you were doing to increase the magnitude of that, because without speaking, it was always harumph, harumph, frown, frown, kick the chair, you know, slam the book, do whatever if I was not having a great day. And the brainstorm piece was something I experienced a couple of times. The first time I read that, I thought, you know, this was, you know, the brainstorm when the light bulb goes off, mm-hmm. that you're having a moment, right? This is a moment of an epiphany. This is a moment of insight, a moment of clarity. But my sponsor, in his wisdom, said, no. Not when this book was written. You can insert the word rage there. Brainstorm means you're seeing red. Your brain is having a storm. It's not a moment of insight. I was like, oh. So yeah, when I get in a rage, which didn't happen frequently, but I had experienced it, I understood, you know, lights go out. That's when I, you know, there's no reason, there is no nothing. It's just focused. But to realize that, as I'm trying to, trying my best to figure out how to stay sober, spending more time on this than I spent in most school classes, right? I mean, studying this and giving it my earnest attempt at figuring this out and actually listening to another guy who was from California, about as different as night and day, but our histories, everything. He told me, I'll never wear red. And I went, that didn't click to me. I'll never wear red. I figured it out later. That wasn't where he didn't live on the red side of town. He lived on the blue side of town. But I'm listening to this guy, and he's telling me all this stuff. But I can see, you know, all this time I'm spinning my wheels about old stuff, and it's a humongous waste of time and energy. And there's a lot of people that I won't, you know, that I avoid, that I won't, that I can't, you know, if I see them in a room, I won't, you know, I won't look at them, and I won't go up and say hi. And it's very uncomfortable if I'm in a group of people and I'm with them because of that thing they did back in time, that, you know, it's all right here. They may not remember it, but I was all about it. So I guess this was just a realization that there's a whole lot of things spinning around in my head, which finally got around to, if I let them keep spinning around in my head, I've come to believe what this book says. And if I let them spin, I will drink again. And I got to figure out how to get rid of them. So, Meredith.
Thank you. This was a lot. Just reading it again and hearing it again, it's a mouthful. For when we harbor such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. I think I'm a visual learner, and I feel that sometimes he throws in these things that I can see the sun, and this resentment comes in dark cloud, and it's covering up my sun, and I'm seeing this in my head, and then all of a sudden the clouds are twirling and swirling and circling and circling and just getting faster and faster. And then next thing I know, I'm in a panic state, can't breathe, searching for myself, like, what do I do? And alcohol, you know, it calmed all that, and or it didn't bring it on at all, because that's why I drank. And for me, to see the sunlight is very important, because to me, sunlight is calm. And I know that with the sunlight comes hope and faith. That means I need to reach out, so I have my tools. Part of the tools is this step four of writing it down, getting it off our chest, getting it out of our head, and getting it down. I've been told, you know, there's three places that we go as alcoholics. And it really hit me, because I was like, oh, where's that? I was like, you know, like a Bermuda or something? And they're like, no, you're either going to jail, you're going to an institution, or you're going to die. You keep it up, and those are your three choices. And I really don't like those three choices. I like Bermuda better. Not during hurricane season, but Bermuda better. So with that, I try to call, stay in contact with AA, with all the sisters that I've made, read my big book. I don't look back on my fourth step. I do keep it just to say, so what did I write again? Okay, so that's why I wrote fear for that person, or I wrote, you know, in my sex column there for that, you know. And then I move on. I don't linger there. I mean, I do reference occasionally, but I don't, we discard it and then we move forward. We don't shut the door on the past, but we move forward. And I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, the next reading is on page 66 as well. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw the resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take kindly and tolerant views of each and every one. Jim?
Wow. Three dense paragraphs there.
And you got less than 5 minutes. Go.
No, you
go.
I'm just kidding. Plenty of
seconds. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Meredith.
You're welcome.
Let me see. So back to the list again. We come, and it's you know, how many times am I going to have to read this? Is the thought that was running through my head. To be willing to step into, sort of step into their shoes, to step into the people who I had labeled and put, you know, fancied things that had been between us, you know, the person that looked at me in the meeting, right, that's across the table, and that we're in a meeting and there's all kinds of people and they look at me across the table, or I look at them and they look away or they look down and I immediately think it's me. So instant resentment. They weren't really engaged with me at all. That, you know, I look back at this and I say, well, what if, you know, what if they weren't, what if it wasn't me? Mm-hmm. It gives me the pause. It gives me the opening to see it from a different place. And the people who, oddly enough, were quite, I guess, justified or felt it necessary to come down on me or interact with me in a negative way, that they, you know, I stepped on their toes, I pushed too hard. Could it be that they have a whole lot going on in their life that I have no idea about? Could they be having a worse day than me and just happen to take it out on me? You know, are they allowed the same latitude that I am in dealing with someone who's, you know, clearly an idiot and, you know,
yeah.
You know, how do I politely tell you don't understand, go away? You know, so if they're feeling that and they're politely telling me, you're an idiot, go away. So I have to, can I allow for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And prior to sponsorship in AA, no, I couldn't. That doesn't play. That's not the way we play. And until that door was opened and this process allowed me to basically turn left and look at it from the side, from, whoa, a whole different angle, a whole different world, to realize there's other people in it. who are having whatever day they're having, who have unknown family requirements upon them, unknown monetary problems, unknown, I don't know any of this. I only see, you know, bright smiling face at the office. I don't know what happened last night. I don't know if you just got divorced. I don't know if your kid's sick. I don't know any of this. But all I know is that you were mean to me. Horrible. So, again, going back, you know, to the previous thing, I'm trying to figure this out. And if it took, you know, well, Jim, perhaps they're sick. Oh, you know, perhaps they're sick has since changed for me into perhaps they're just human. You know, perhaps they're just having a bad day. I don't need to label them as sick. I know I'm sick, but, you know, that came with time. But to be able to sit and listen through the other side of the story and not retaliate or correct or, you know, this is the piece that allows me to sit through and listen. And in this space, I was listening to my own resentment, right? I'm replaying it. There it is on paper, and I'm replaying it for myself. Except this time I'm looking at it going, man, you are having a horrible day. Mm. You know, what did I miss? You know, what did I say? Did I say something? Was it, did I instigate that? And I replay my side and go, no, I think, you know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but you were having a horrible day. And I've had those kind of days too. You know, when the guy cuts me off in traffic, he's blowing by me on the right and snaps in, and he's got about 3 inches on front and 3 inches in the back. And I go, you, and I think to myself, that was a good move. Right? I have done that. I know I have done that. Why am I going to flip you off? That was absolutely NASCAR. God, that was good. But until I did this, until I worked through this process, I was on the horn, up, you know, an inch off the bumper, you know, screaming and yelling. Now it's a little more mellow. Meredith?
You know what? I got this email, and I opened it up, and in the subject line it said resentments. And then I saw the second speaker. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it, and we have beautiful Jim here. But that second speaker was actually my sponsor. And so as soon as I got the email, I called her. She's like, I got the email. And then we just started laughing because resentments. I should have read this before Sunday. I should have read this before I talked to my ex-husband. Seriously, I should have read this before. This is what God is doing for me, what I cannot do for myself. My resentment toward my ex-husband, it's still fresh. I'm telling you this because you're my people. I've been divorced now since February. And I still have lots of resentment. There's some things going on. I'm not going to get into it too much. But I should have read this before I talked to him. And I did a fourth step, and I guess you 10th step, fourth step, you know, with my sponsor the same day, because I was like, I need to see you before we read the book. She's like, yeah, come in an hour early. So we realized that people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. And I'm ratting myself out too, because you're my people, and I'm not perfect. And when I saw my ex-husband on Sunday, he's going through chemo, and I was the big B. I was the big B to a man who's going through chemo. Yeah, I was the big B, and. We ask God to help us, show us the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Mm. He's sick. Like, he really is going through chemo. He's got cancer. And I was a bitch. And I should have read this on Sunday. That's why you're supposed to call your sponsor. You're supposed to call your sponsor before you do anything. I'm telling you. We avoid retaliation and argument. We wouldn't treat sick. We wouldn't treat sick people that way, right? Mm-hmm. No. No, we don't treat people that way. If we do, we destroy our chances of being helpful. How can I, this man who I married and now divorced, I have to be helpful too? This is why it's funny, because God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. And I need to start being helpful and not be the big bee. And that's not the queen bee, that's the big bee. So, if we cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and everyone. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Shannon. All right, final reading. Got about 5 minutes or so, okay, y'all?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Page 67, referring to our list again, we put out of our minds the wrongs others had done. We resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person's involvement entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white, and we admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set the matter straight.
Once again, my sponsor and I went around on this a little bit, but we're referring to it again. We're going back through the list one more time and putting on a column that's not documented in the book.
the secret column.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Three columns.
Yeah.
There's three columns. You told me when we started, this is the conversation we had. He said, look, because early, I'll go really quick. When we started out, I waxed philosophical with him. I discussed the meanings of the steps. what is step three really doing? We went through all this, you know, and he was polite and let me do that until we got to this step. And he said, Jim, look, we can philosophize on this all you want. And I'm happy to debate anything you'd like here. Happy to. But while we're going through the steps, we're going to do the steps just like it says in the book. We're just going to do them. We're not going to talk about them. We're not going to wonder about them. We're going to do them. We will talk and philosophize when we're through. You got that? And I went, okay. He said, you promised you would do anything, right? I said, yes, I did. He said, good. Now we're on to step four. So he kind of shut me up. But I, of course, brought this back up. I said, oh, you said it was like it was in the book. The book has three columns. Where's this column? He says, and he took a piece of paper and he drew a line down. He says, it's right there. Right there. You see that? There it is. I was like, okay, I'm stuck. So here I am, 6'4"-ish, not a small guy. And, perfectly able to handle myself and be as aggressive and abrasive as necessary to bulldog my way through life, kick open the door, do whatever. Bull in a china shop. My dad used to tell me, Jim, you're acting like a bull in a china shop. It's like stuff is crashing around you as you press through. Press through. We go through the list. And I, on my entire list, fear. My right-hand column, every single one of them said fear. For one reason or another, it was either I was going to lose something, I was going to not get something I needed, I was just downright terrified, kind of like sitting in front of a group and talking is a big fear for me. Hope I'm hiding it well. But I was able to see, oh my God, a lot of this, most of this behavior that is in here is all based on the fact that I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid. Changed my life. Because I'm like, that's what it is. I'm not supposed to be afraid because I'm big, but I'm afraid. I mean, I'm not afraid physically, but I'm afraid inside. I'm like, And one of the most liberating, so here's my very liberating moment, is to realize that most of the stuff that's going on is because I'm afraid, and I'm either running from something or getting aggressive about it to stop it. I'm trying to stop what's happening because I'm afraid of it. Mm-hmm. There you go. One more liberating moment in life was when I actually stopped somebody and said, I'm terrified. Right now, I want you to know I'm terrified about what's going on. It was a personal, I was in a personal relationship talk, and I just said, I want you to know I'm terrified right now. And the look on their face was like, you're what? I'm terrified right now. They're like, whoa. So, big moment for everybody. They realized Jim can be afraid too. Mm-hmm. Meredith?
Thanks, Jim. This is like wrap up time. I just go back to page 58, and it just, right there in the beginning, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed her path. And it says, completely give themselves to the simple program, constantly capable of being honest with themselves. You have to be honest with yourself. They are such unfortunates. They seem to have been born naturally capable of grasping and developing a manner of learning which demands rigorous honesty. It says so right there, literally in the first paragraph of How It Works, Chapter 5. Actually, now that I'm looking at my book, I have honest three times, underlined three times in one paragraph. It's when we saw our own faults and listed them in black and white, can we admit our own wrongs, honesty, and we're willing to set the matter straight. Mm.
That's good. Thank you. All right, let's thank our panel for...
Okay,
so we're going to pass seven tradition baskets.
There you go.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Seven tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that may divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of your contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, you may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Okay, are there any AA-related announcements?
Don't drink.
Yes.
I'm Grant, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant.
Saturday, September 30th, I'm sure you've all heard me announce this at least once before. Noon to 4, we're inviting professionals to come out and learn about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's an opportunity for all the professionals who encounter alcoholics in their professional life to know more about alcoholism and what it is Alcoholics Anonymous does and doesn't do for the alcoholic who's still suffering. So if you want to find out more about this event and you want to share this with the professionals you know, come see me after the meeting. I have flyers. I can also email them to you if you don't want to carry paper around. So I will hopefully see some of you after the meeting. Thanks.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Hey, my name's Stephen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stephen.
The BLC convention is this month, 25th, 26th, and 27th. at the Hilton Garden Hotel in Greater Downtown Suffolk. There's a great, great panel of speakers that's lined up for the weekend. There's two workshops, both on Saturday. There's a dance Saturday night, Ice Cream Social as well. Friday night, they're going to be showing the movie Flight, which is seen it. A lot of good things to do, a great fellowship. The registrations for the convention are a little bit down, so if you're intending to go, please register. The website's a little funky to get around. I'm sure you can get through. If not, you can register there Fridays and Saturday. Hotel rooms are still available.
Two-fisted.
I hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Steve?
Yes.
Ralph, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ralph.
On September the 10th, New Day's having their 15th annual picnic, and that's going to be held at Woodstock Park in Virginia Beach on Providence Road from 10 to 4 p.m. It's family-oriented. You can bring your grandmother, you can bring your grandchildren, whoever you want. It's pet-friendly. You just have to have pets on a leash. There's also going to be live music from 12 to 2. A young man from the fellowship is going to donate his talents between that time. So you're all welcome.
All right. Thank you. Yes.
Hey, everyone. I'm Travis Alcoholic.
Hey, Travis.
My home group, Uptown Young and Sober, is doing a coordinated event with Downtown Young and Sober on Saturday, September 30th as well at 2 o'clock at Beach Garden Park. That's out by the oceanfront. There's going to be a grill, a workshop, and then an ultimate frisbee tournament.
Come out
Thanks for letting me
share. I remember playing ultimate frisbee for the first time.
Yes.
Alcoholic David.
David.
This Saturday, the next one in the queue, the 19th, the Shoulder to Shoulder group is celebrating their 8th annual anniversary as a home group. They're going to have food at 5:30. It's potluckish. Bring a dish if you wish. There's going to be a play, a comedy kind of a thing. And Kathleen Kay, who used to be a member, live in Norfolk, now lives in Texas. She's going to be in town. She's going to be the speaker. And then I think DJ IP is going to spin some fat tracks where everybody's going to dance the rest of the night. It's a proper alcoholic Saturday night. There's food, there's entertainment, there's experience, strength, and hope, and music. This Saturday, Yorktown, Grace Episcopal United Methodist Church. Grace Episcopal United Methodist Church. Grace Episcopal Church.
Uh-huh. You're binding.
Whoa. When did those two when did they get together?
I bet.
Anybody else? Okay. I do have memorial information on Greg Adams, if anybody knew him and wants to attend the service. It's going to be at 7 o'clock on Friday, this coming Friday, at Rosewood Kellum Funeral Home, and I have the address here, so if you want it, just come see me. I'll be up here at the front table, okay, and I'll like text it to you or something. But he was an amazing member of Alcoholics Anonymous in Norfolk. He served as DCM when I was a GSR, and just an amazing guy in service, in life, in AA, and everything. So we're gonna go celebrate his life and everything that he contributed to us and everything, so. And I'm close, I'm so close. All right, so Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining the home group, please see a home group member after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. All right. Literature. Did we put literature out?
Yes, behind you.
Oh, okay. Literature's on the table behind me. If you can fold it, you can take it. The books, you got to see a home group member to buy. And I think it's in the front cover. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
I'm agreeing to.
The price.
Price.
Sure.
Sure. Okay, newcomers. Anybody in their first 30 days who would like to introduce themselves so we can get to know you?
My name is Antonio, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Antonio, welcome. Keep coming back.
My name is Nick, I'm an alcoholic.
Nick, good to see you.
Keep coming back.
Good to see you. All right. Anybody else? All right. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you to do not delay. If you have a question or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at the end of the meeting up here at the table for that as well. Reminder, smokers, please use butt cans provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. The smoke has a tendency of drifting in. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, which is simpleactions.net. And in closing, let's thank our panel again. After the meeting, if some people could help fold up the chairs, we're not usually in this room, but we need help putting the chairs up, so if you could stick around a little bit and help, that'd be helpful. And then, do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on 164?
Are you
going to dinner?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm alcoholic.
Hallelujah.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.
Thanks, Leah. And I did forget, David reminded me, we do have a meeting after the meeting at Plaza del Sol, right? Okay, write down Collie. So after we're done picking up and everything, continue the meeting after the meeting down there. And then we have a way of closing.
Away.
Away, away.
I love that shirt. It's a great color.
Thank you so much.
Come here to stretch out.
That's okay.
Jim figured
it out.
He's the best.
All right. Who kept us sober today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Keep coming back.